It's Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio, your NPR news station. Good morning. I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is Michigan Radio senior news analyst Jack Lesenberry with a look at some of the region's top news stories of the week. A bill introduced in the State House this week would phase out Michigan's income tax. Right now, the income tax is 4.25%. This bill would bring it down to 3.9% next year and then shave off a teeny bit every year for the next 30 years until it's completely gone. Jack, what's the impact if the income tax does get nixed?
Oh, destruction of Western civilization, but nobody's serious about this, except maybe some total fools. If you were to get rid of the income tax totally, that's $9 billion. That means no funding for schools, no funding for prisons. This is at a time when Michigan can't even pay properly for schools or fix the roads. What they will do is they'll take it from 4.25 to 3.9%, which to you and me, unless you have vast wealth I'm unaware of, Rebecca, this will be barely detectable. But for the 1%, it'll be a nice chunk of change, but it will leave the state with less money. But the other thing is the idea of just eliminating it by a tenth of a percent per year is just sort of eyewash for the Tea Party.
The confirmation hearing for Education Secretary nominee and West Michigan native Betsy DeVos has been postponed until next week. DeVos is known nationally as an advocate of charter schools, school choice, and vouchers. Michigan Senator Debbie Stabenow has already said she'll vote no on DeVos's nomination. Do you think others will follow suit?
Sure, up to 48 others. That's how many seats the Democrats and their allies have in the Senate, but there are 52 Republicans. Of course, if they could pry loose three Republicans, she'd be dead, but it's very hard for me to think that'll happen. I think you'll probably see pretty close to a party-line vote on Betsy DeVos. You might have a crosser here or there, but the mathematics indicate that she likely will be confirmed.
For the first time in 7 years, Detroit Public Schools have a school board with some, not all, but some actual power. New school board members officially took office this week. After years under state emergency management, this feels like the dawn of a new era for Detroit schools. Jack, what does the road ahead look like for DPS?
Well, long before you were born, Rebecca, there was a song called Chantilly Lace by the Big Bopper, and the refrain of which was, I ain't got no money, honey, and that's part of the problem. This looks like a very good school board, but the legislature probably didn't give them enough money, and even more so, they refused to allow the formation of a commission that would say where new charter schools as well as new conventional public schools can locate. A lot of people think that what the legislature wanted to do was give them just enough money to struggle on for a few years before they collapsed and everything was turned over to for-profit charters. It might be a little cynical, and I'd love to be proven wrong, but the problem is they still don't have enough revenue. They got rid of the debt, but they're still losing students. This is a district that had 200,000 kids not that long ago and now has something like 45,000. We'll keep our fingers crossed that it works, because the ultimate test for Detroit becoming a livable city is to have public schools people can put their kids in with confidence.
Governor Rick Snyder's State of the State address is coming up on Tuesday. Last year, Snyder devoted most of his speech to the Flint water crisis. What do you think he'll talk about this year, Jack?
He'll certainly talk about Flint some more and probably won't satisfy the Democrats. He'll talk about what has been done and indicate there's a lot more to do. He may talk about his legislative priority. And one thing that Snyder wants very much that some of the Republicans aren't keen on in the legislature is what he calls auto insurance reform, which would essentially mean limiting the ability of people catastrophically injured in car accidents to be taken care of. Right now, they can be taken care of for life. There's a huge pool of money to do that. But Snyder and the insurance industry would like to get rid of that. There's been some opposition even from Republicans. He's failed twice, but indications are they'll try again. But he may have some other legislative priorities, and I think we should listen.
Lastly, a bill that would end daylight saving time in Michigan was introduced this week. Jack, I'm getting a strong sense of deja vu with this one.
Well, there's a good argument for getting rid of daylight savings time. It was something that was put in for farmers to have more light at night. Trouble is, it endangers school children, little kids going to school. And there are also drivers who are better to be driving when it's light than driving when it's dark. People going to work who still might be a little tired and not on their 14th cup of coffee. There's a stupid thing about this particular bill in that it would also apply to the counties in the Upper Peninsula that are on Central Standard Time. It would force them to be on Eastern Standard Time as well, so they'd have to change their time anyway, and a lot of these folks work in Wisconsin, and I think that ought to be amended out of the bill. But the only people who really like daylight savings time, I guess, are the farmers. Let's see how powerful their lobby is.
Well, Jack, on that note, I'm going to go get that 15th cup of coffee right now. How about you?
I'm waiting till the sun comes up.
Jack Lesenberry is Michigan Radio senior news analyst. He joins us Saturday mornings to review the week's regional stories.